When I started Moolah La 10 years ago, it's been 10 years, I had a lot of artists in my initial workshops. I used to run these public workshops. That's because my husband is a theater director, and so a lot of his friends and colleagues became kind of my test audiences. And I know from them that if you know very little about money and have a volatile income, it can feel really intimidating to talk about money at all or talk to a financial planner. Our next guest knows this feeling well. He also knows the arts well. He's an opera singer turned financial planner. Chris Enns built his practice around helping people get a handle on their money, people who he calls might be financial misfits. He joins us now from Paris, France, to tell us about Rags to Reasonable. Hello there.
Hi, so good to be here. Thanks for having me on.
What is your favorite opera role to sing and why?
Oh, I always, my stock answer here is always, you got to love the one you're with. So it's always the show that you're working on right then always seems to sum up as be the favorite. That's usually true. There's always the aberrations when you're working on one that you're not enjoying, but it's really like when you're knee deep in a role that you're really working on.
Total cop out. I'm going to make you choose one. What? Barber of Seville? Give me one.
Too much work. Too much work. What do I love? You know, my favorite role that I've actually ever sang was Candide in Bernstein's Candide.
All right.
It's a little bit kind of where opera and musical theater meet, though, but it's a role I love.
You were working on your full CFP designation. You're at level one on that journey. How does an opera singer end up as a financial planner?
By making all the possible financial mistakes that I could make.
Oh, good. So you got real experience.
Exactly. I was like so many of the people I work with now. I ignored money at all costs. Just as much as I could not talk about money, that's where my happy place was. And then I got out in the world and I started making mistakes. I had all these assumptions about how artists should be around money. It just wasn't something we were supposed to be good at. It was something that we just ignore. It wasn't part of our lives. And I also thought things like when I made money, then I would figure out money. Or everybody else knows how money works. It's just me and my like arts friends that don't. And so that's kind of how I entered the world of trying to make money. And I got into a lot of trouble. And I got into a fair amount of tax debt. And I got into a fair amount of just lots of stressful situations. And ended up saying, okay, what can I do about this? How can I just start to gain some control? And ended up being super empowered by learning the basics, learning the fundamentals, and starting to communicate and realize that just those fundamentals could be a real game changer and could help me live the way I wanted to live.
And when did the light bulb come on, or in your case, the spotlight bulb? Good, eh? I know, it's good.
The spotlight, I was working in Toronto at the COC's ensemble program, and I just was out of school, and I was making like a weekly amount. And this was like way more money than I had ever made before. And I was like, this is great. This is awesome. The problem was is that I made some tax mistakes, like not saving for it.
Uh-huh. I've done that.
Then not picking up the phone when CRA called.
Oh.
Or answering the letters when they sent the letters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the tax debt that really was the thing that made me go, what am I going to do about this? And so I went to Google, as I do with all my questions, and Googled, I need a budget, because that seemed like a thing to start. And actually found the program, You Need a Budget,
Yep. Lovingly
called YNAB, and started my journey there in trying to figure out what I spend, how to map my income, and connecting my money to what I wanted. And actually, funny story, your book was also one of the first ones that I ever bought.
Yes!
The first personal finance that I bought. Your book and Preet's book in the bookstore. And still, that first question of what do you want is where I start with every single client, and where I keep coming back to all the time in my own personal finances, whether I'm talking about right now or 5 years down the road or retirement. That's like, it has stuck with me to this day. So thank you very
much. Nice. Well, you're welcome. And here we are. That's hilarious. Now, I know what's different for artists because I'm married to one, but how would you characterize the life of an artist as it relates to money? What are the things that have that be different from a salaried employee?
Totally. I would say there's two huge differences. One on the practical end is just how money comes in. it's really variable and it changes from art form to art form. And so in something like opera, that looks way different than actors, which looks way different than writers, which looks way different from visual artists. So variable income is kind of a catch-all term that we sometimes use, but it doesn't feel the same from person to person. But what does feel the same is just this inability to feel like you can budget or feel like you know what's coming in. So making a plan seems impossible. And that connects to the second thing, which is just the fact that the way we talk about money in the financial world doesn't often communicate to the way artists and creative people connect to money. I just think that right from the base, there's a decision that's been made to follow a career path and a certain life that does not match with a wealth maximization style of thought process. And there's nothing wrong with that, but man, does it feel like there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
So I think the communication issue to me is one of the biggest parts of the disconnect between money and creative people. It's the fact that we're using words and phrases, and I'm not just talking about all the acronyms that we use, but the way we generally talk about money does not appeal and it doesn't connect. And then so they think that, oh, financial tools aren't for me. Money isn't for me. When it can be, it's just another tool that we can use. But that communication thing is a really big part as well.
You've got a couple categories in which you work with your clients: clarity, direction, and accountability. I have a particular affinity for the third one. Tell me a bit about what accountability means for you and how you provide that to the clients that you work with.
I think that it's interesting these days because there's a plethora of financial resources in the world. Google can answer all the questions you could possibly have, right? There's a different thing to sitting down with somebody one-on-one and having that relationship. So that helps all three of those things. Having somebody be able to really clearly say, this is what this means in your life. This is what you should do next. And then saying, let me help you do it. Because a lot of us know this is the old fitness metaphor. It's like, I know what I need to do to lose my winter weight of the last 3 months. I need to stop eating a baguette every day and maybe go for a walk. I know that. I hopefully will do that at some point. I have not done that for the last month. Accountability would help. It's just nice when there's another person in your corner. Finances can feel so isolating. And I think that one of my kind of greatest benefits I can bring people is just to say you're not alone. It's not just you. It's not just artists. It's not just creatives. Tons of people are struggling with this. You can do this. And then just to remind them that they can, and that they're already doing a lot of things well. I had a voice teacher that used to always tell me before we started a session that I would come in and I would say, oh, I want to work on this, and I can't sing this note, and this is a real problem. And they stop. First, we start from what you do well, and we work out from that. Mm. And so when I work with clients, and specifically around accountability, it's about saying, look, you are an expert at something. You can do something incredible. Let's take that skill set and apply it to money. And it works every time.
It's a very good, it's a very, very good point, because artists have developed both enormous muscle around creativity and, by and large, enormous muscle around discipline. And what you're talking about sounds a lot like a reapplication of the core skills of being successful in a creative endeavor.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Chris, thank you so much for your time. You're in Paris, France. Are you kidding me? Why are you in Paris?
I'm in Paris. You know, this is the other side of my life. Is I still hop around and do some opera gigs. I'm not here for an opera gig right now, but my wife is also a working opera singer. And so we're actually just on a bit of a few weeks in between gigs here before she goes to London to start rehearsing for a new project. So we're here for 2 weeks, and then we take the train over to London, and we'll be staying there for the next 3 months. And so the nice thing about my practice is that I do it all online.
Yeah.
I get to work with people all over the place, and I get to work from all over the place. So we get to stay together. And
how do people track you down?
You can find me at rags2reasonable.com or on Twitter at rags2reasonable, Facebook/rags2reasonable. You can find me.
You're everywhere, Chris. Thank you very much for your time. Solo mio and all that stuff.
Thanks. so much, Chris.
Have a great night.